This is the Image and Glory Conference 2024.
Welcome to a feast of fat things full of marrow,
of wines on the lees well refined.
We believe you will be blessed by the abundance of grace to be administered through God's word.
Stay blessed.
Amen. Praise God. We give God praise. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the blessing you brought through your servant. So enormous, Lord, we appreciate you. Thank you for how you've raised and fashioned him to be a blessing to us even this morning. And Father, we also ask for mercy again, just strength to be able to endure this next 1 hour or so, Father, that, Lord, you will do all that you desire to do. Father, I pray for me that you grant me utterance, that I will speak as I ought to. And Father, also for everyone that understanding be given to us. Let your spirit fill up this atmosphere. Let it be a manifestation, even the manifestation of the spirit of the Father, even in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to begin by saying that the essence of the Son of God is for to reveal the Father. The reason for the Son of God is to reveal the Father. It began by saying, Peter, having an understanding, a revelation of him, said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, it's the Christ that became the Son of the living God. Now, why Christ became the Son of the living God is because Christ passed from being Christ into Son of the living God so that the Father can be seen. So that the Father can be seen. If he remains as Christ, you know, yesterday I was telling us, when you hear Christ, please understand it, they were talking about not our Lord Jesus, is our Lord Jesus, we were talking about a program that is called Christ. Christ, like some of my pastors would say, Christ was not his surname. Amen. The Christ was not his surname. How many of us believe it? It's called Jesus Christ. That Christ was not his surname. And as a matter of fact, I want to let you know that now in that word Christ is actually in Hebrew, Messiah. Messiah. Hebrew word is Mashiach. HaMashiach. Now, that word Mashiach, the Jews have a concept of Christ. So Christ is not, our Lord Jesus Christ was not the first Christ in their understanding of Christ. Christ simply means the anointed one. So they've had anointed ones. Amen. But they also knew that in the prophets, there is that which is called the Christ. So that's why they came to him and said, are you the Christ? Because they knew that even though we have Christ, but there is the Christ. So every Christ is an anointed one. Every Christ is an anointed one. And is anointed with, you know, when you say anoint him, let me explain it a little bit, because it's Christos. Every anointing carries within it a property to seal. Did you get what I just said now? Every, and when it's a Christos, not a smearing of oil on you, not an anointing that, I'm talking about an anointed one. There can be many who will be anointed, but an anointed one is a special calling, is a special office. We Gentiles, as it were, because you know we are Gentile in our understanding, and it still plays out in most of the things that we also, even in our interpretation of the scriptures. But when you ask a Jew, who is Christ? In fact, one time, a Jew was saying that a Messiah always does something significant for the people of Israel. There is always something significant that Messiah does, meaning he's anointed and sent and sealed by God to carry out something that will be of great benefit to the nation of Israel. So that person was actually talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he did nothing for the Jews. But he didn't know that he did everything. Now, he wasn't just anointed for the Jew, he was anointed for the whole world. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. He was not just anointed for the Jews, he was anointed for the whole world. So he was arguing because they have understood Messiahhood as, you know, when you look at David, they don't argue about David as being a Messiah. David was anointed. David was anointed. You can see it for his life. He was anointed. Amen. Praise God. He was anointed. He was a Messiah in a way. And so you have all the even prophets that we are anointed that came in seasons, and there were things which they did for the nation of Israel. Amen. But looking at our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, because his own kind of Messiah wasn't just that which was going to deal with the physical enemies of Israel, or that which was going to deal with, you know, the Israel, what would benefit Israel as a physical nation, but rather, amen. Are you following me this morning? This Messiah was one who is, because he's the Messiah, the anointed one. That was where actually they missed it. That was where the blindness happened to them. This, the anointed one, the one that was prophesied. You know, there are some things when I read about our Lord Jesus that marveled me. There are things that marveled me. And I asked myself, I said, if I'm like this, and I came, you know, he came in the flesh of a Jew. He came from the womb of a Jewish woman. He resembles a Jew. Up till now. And he's not going to remove that resemblance. And, you know, there is that passion of ethnicity that every human being has. That passion of ethnicity. Now, you think Jesus didn't have it? If he didn't have it, then there was no place for temptation. He had it, but he walked against it. You don't understand what I mean? I used to wonder, as a Messiah, now, you know, he had also an understanding of their concept of Messiah. And then here you are in a nation of Israel where you have been sent, which you came through. You are of the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, as it were. Amen. Are you following me? I just want to narrate something to you. And all of a sudden, you are under Roman occupation. You're seeing now, you know, sometimes when we read, you need to go check church history and understand the season that Jesus came. It was a volatile season. It was a time when the Jews were under Roman occupation. I read a thesis that Pilate, it was archived, that Pilate actually wrote to Caesar describing the season. He said that in all his career as a servant of Caesar and the Roman Empire, that being in the region of Judea is the worst season of his career because he is not allowed to rest. He said there's always trouble. And then Caesar had warned him that if you don't keep these things down, then your blood will go for it. So he had to give a full account. When I was reading the account, I now understood the season that Jesus was as a young man in Israel. It was a season, and you know, those were seasons in his life. He understood that his messiahhood, I want to show you something here, so that you can begin to appreciate our Lord Jesus even more, that his messiahhood was not one that is going to be like any other that had been before him. That all he was sent forth to do, you know, I began by saying that the essence of the Son of God is to reveal the Father. That all his messiahhood, all about it was to capture, inherit, take something from God. Not for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles. Can you say amen? Do you see where we came in? Not for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles. He was supposed to take something, something that no one has ever or could have ever seen. He said, no one has seen God at any time. But the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The one who is this, he called the only begotten. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten. So he was journeying. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. He was journeying to be the only begotten. That was his journey here on earth. To be the only begotten. So he had to carefully walk. Now this is how it is. There are junctions that we have propensity to stop. There are places where we, not that you necessarily, we are stopped by virtue of, okay, maybe you are not qualified. No, but you yourself stopped. Amen. Amen. But he knew that all I was supposed to do was to become. Can you say become? Say it with me now. What is he supposed to do to become? How can you, all your life on earth, all you want to do is to become? Become, amen. Not just do, but become. Can you just focus on becoming? Become. Become. What he wanted to become was to become the only begotten Son of God. Now, I will call it that title, is not just a title, I don't want to call it, it's not an office. For me, it captures everything about God. Everything about God. The only begotten Son of God. There is the beloved Son of God. There is the begotten Son of God. But there is also the only begotten Son of God. So you could see how he journeyed. He had to know that I have to keep on moving. Imagine when you're moving. Just imagine yourself. You're doing something. You're moving. You're going somewhere. You're focused. And then stones are being thrown at you. I don't know if you're following me. I want to stir up a passion in us to keep moving forward. Amen. Stones are being thrown at you. You know stones that are being thrown at you? Words. Accusations. From spirits. And from men. Accusations. Stones. Accusations are stones. Being hauled at you. And all that is to make you to stop at a point and react. Or stop at a point and respond. or stop at a point and use the privilege of where you are to deal with the issue. You know, he could have done that. To use the privilege you have as a son, even as a beloved son. Amen. 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 Even as the beloved son, he could have used that privilege to deal with some things, but he didn't use it. He has to depend on the Father. So for him to get to the place where he is able to declare the Father, no one has seen God at any time. That word "see" is not just physical. See, it's not even in a vision. It's not even see God in the sense that we think. It's actually capture God. Capture God. Can you say capture God? Another word for it is to inherit God. No one has inherited God at any time. Because to see God is to inherit God. Amen. He said his servant shall see his face and his name shall be on their forehead. Are you seeing it? So to see God is, this seeing God is what will bring about the sealing. For we shall see him as he is. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. There's a sighting of him that we should not allow anything take our gaze from if we want to be sealed. And for your information, there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot that, when I mean a whole lot, a whole lot of distraction, a whole lot of you know, things that will want to move your gaze away from him. And all of that is so that you will not see him. Now, to see him as he is for to inherit him. So, like I said, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, is not just declaring him, he's not parroting him, he's declaring what he has inherited. He was declaring the Father as an inheritance that he has. Do you believe what I just said now? He was declaring, Jesus was not a preacher. Jesus was not a preacher. He was not a preacher. Let me put it this way. He was not a preacher like us. The things which we have seen and heard are the things we are telling you. He was telling Nicodemus. That which you have seen and that which you have heard, that we testify. Thank you. 3. And what he has seen, John was the one saying, what he has seen and what he heard, that he testifieth. That is what he is testifying. What he has seen and what he has heard. So the Son actually focused on seeing and hearing. Can you say it with me? He focused on what? I'm not hearing you. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him whatsoever thing the Father doeth. So the Father was, so the Son was seeing and hearing. The Son was seeing and hearing. There's a way the Son was seeing and hearing God. For to inherit God. Amen. He was seeing and hearing. The Father loved. We are going to go through this a little bit. Praise God. Amen. My teaching is not tedious this morning. I just want to stir up that desire for focus. The Father loved the Son and had given all things into his hands. So how did he give all things into his hands? He had to say things to him and show him things. He showed him what things soever he doeth. So there was something the Father was doing. There was something the Father was. Now, do you think Father was doing something about the universe, doing something about the constellations, doing something about the Father? When we say the Father can be like this and is doing a lot. The work that the Father is doing is in himself. When you say Father worketh, the Father worketh, he tato I walk. It's not healing the sick. The Father walketh. The Father showed him works that are in him as the Father. I don't know if you're following with me. The Father showed him what? Works. So when you're looking at the Father, you're seeing works. You're seeing works. And these works has to be done. But they can't. The pathway to initiating this work, first of all, is you seeing. Amen. I'm not hearing you say amen. Now, once you see, when I say see, this seeing is a commandment given to you. Because whatever you see, you have been commanded. Whenever you see, you have been commanded. You know, like Pastor was teaching, the Lord shows you something. It's a commandment. Now, commandments can come to us in various, because these are operations of the Spirit. Commandments can come to you by the Lord speaking to you. Commandment can come to you by you perceiving something. You can perceive. There's a way the Lord can project a thought to you. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, you just capture that thought. When you capture that thought, it's a commandment. They didn't just give it to you so that you can share. That's part of the things that the Lord used to tell me. He said, when we show you something, it's not majorly for sharing. I won't forget one time that the Lord, you know, I was praying, you know, waiting upon the Lord for the beginning of the year. I was out of the country, and then it was normally for the past how many years? Over, that should be close to 10 years now. I've always been outside the country by December, January. And then, you know, while I was away, I was just waiting upon the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the Lord came to me, you know, I was reading my Bible, waiting on him, praying. I just heard it very clearly. This one wasn't even just projection of thought. And somehow, by experience, I've learned to appreciate projection than just saying, sir. It's just my own experience. It's just when they project a thought, there's a feeling it comes with that gives you a better grasp on that than when you just hear. Now, both of them are meant to accomplish something. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. Sometimes when they say something to me, it will take me a long time to be able to appreciate what they are saying. But sometimes when, you know, thoughts are projected, there's a way, there's a way you're able to capture it that you won't capture it when you hear just words only. So, but what I heard was words. And I didn't understand it. And it has taken me years to be able to, and that commandment is still with me. It has taken me years, and sometimes when the thought of it comes back again, I see how much I'm still falling short of commandment that I've received more like the past. That should be about 5 years ago. How I'm still falling short. And what did he tell me? Now, this was the Lord. I mean, the Lord can be very, 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 very interesting and very humorous. You know, I was in Poland, very cold. It was December, snows everywhere. And then I was in a room praying, you know, that kind of snow. If you've been in a temperate region, no matter the heater you put in the room, you're still feeling cold. And we have to minister every day. I was ministering every day inside that cold, you know. And so while I was waiting upon the Lord that morning, the Lord told me, he said, you know, there's somewhere it is like you feel this is a sacrifice. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. The Lord will be pleased with me in this sacrifice that I'm giving. Amen. Praise God. And he just came to me and said, he was speaking to me about the company. He said, you people being one, you ensuring that you are one, is more important to me than what you're doing for me. I heard it clearly. That thing is still a commandment in my pouch. He said, you people being one is more important to me than this preaching inside cold, preaching every day. than this, leaving your family in a festive season to come and do mission work here. You being one is more important to me than what you're doing. You call sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord neglected the sacrifice, but he's just telling me what is more important to him. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Now, I thought it was a message to preach. So I said, that's going to begin the message for the next year. So I came back and then I began to preach that we may be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. I was preaching it. And I could just, with a little bit of growth, I could look back then and then just imagine how they'll be laughing at me. Because even what I was preaching, I didn't quite know it. I have not walked in it as I ought to. And up till now, I've not walked in it as I ought to. I still have to come into understanding of it properly to be able to walk in it. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So, like I said, there are times when you will hear things and then you didn't quite understand. He has taken me, like Pastor was talking about, one that took him 15 years. I'm still yet to understand fully what it means that they are one. I don't know if you're following me. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. So can you say the Son? So the essence of the Son was to capture everything about God. We are in John chapter 3. Let's go back to John chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. He said, that which he has seen and heard. So the Father communicated to him by seeing and hearing. The Father was showing him things which he was doing. He communicated these things to him by seeing and hearing. That which he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man, because this is higher than what man can receive as testimony. Please understand me. When he said, the Son actually here, amen. I don't know how John captured these things. John, you know where we are, Pastor was teaching, we are talking, I would say, John actually understood the Son of God. He had grasp of the Son of God, the conversation, the economy, the program called the Son of God, just like Paul had an understanding and grasp of Christ. Do you believe me? John had that understanding. See, look at how he tailored it. He said, here, John was actually referring to testimony. So the Son you're seeing here was already a man with testimony. Can I say something to you? It wasn't just everlasting. It was a man with testimony. I don't think, sir, that anybody will be sealed without testimony. You must get to the point of handling the testimony. Now, what is he testifying? What is he declaring? That's another word we can call it. What is he declaring? He's not just declaring because he's a preacher. He's not just declaring because he's a teacher. There is something he has as life. The life of testimony. Amen. Amen. Can you say testimony? Say it with me again, testimony. So that was what those in the book of Revelation chapter 12, the man-child came to be able to overcome the dragon. What was it? Testimony. 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 So our Lord Jesus, actually, in acquiring God, amen, in getting those things of God got to the point of testimony. It is that testimony that testifies or that is speaking. Back to what I was saying. In Christ, because each of these levels, the Lord did perfectly. He didn't fail. There was no carryover. At every level, he pleased the Father. At every level, the Bible said he did all things well. You know, that all things well wasn't just because he was answering everybody. He didn't get angry, because he was angry sometimes, you know. Amen. Praise God. Remember when he had to pursue the guys in the temple? And you can't do that if you're not angry. No, he's not. Please understand. You know, sometimes when we read those places, we are wondering, well, exactly how did the Lord, okay, maybe the Lord just, you know, said to them, you have torn my father's house. And then maybe when the Lord was saying, he was crying. Something has to provoke you to begin to beat people. Because he was beating them. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Did you get me? Now, but that he did all things well meant that at every junction, he did well. Meaning he pleased God well. In all this program that are being unveiled to us, in the season of, please listen to me, in the season of milk, he did it well. In the season of Christ, he did it well. In the season of the Father, he did it well. In the season of eternal life, he did it well. Amen. That's what it means that he did all things well. And God's desire is that we should also do all things well. Amen. Amen. Now, doing all things well for us here is the fact that he did not leave any of what needed to be done to inherit the Father undone. Because you can't just inherit the Father like that. Amen. So let's go back to what I was saying. Last night I stopped by saying that the Father does not just seal people like that. Do you remember? He doesn't just seal people like that. There are things that he looks for before he can begin to seal. In fact, the seal is the fact that some things has been done. Are you following me? It's the fact that some things has been done. Can you say things has to be done? Say it again, things has to be done. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said he did all things well. Can you say he did all things well? So we have to do all things well for to be sealed. We have to do all things well to be sealed. Let's go back to that. Let's go to that John. John, so he said, he that receiveth his testimony. That was where Pastor was quoting. He that receiveth his testimony. Now, when you read this place, what you will think is he that receives what he's saying in terms of his preaching. No. He that receiveth his testimony. That is what is called his testimony. His testimony is the life that he has. He that receiveth his testimony, like I said, what he's talking about is the life that he had. He that receiveth his testimony has set to what? His seal. That what happened? That God is true. Pastor talked a little bit about it. Just bear with me. I want to get something. Amen. has set to his seal. So you see, testimony and seal go together. There will not be sealing without receiving of testimony. Even in the days of Christ, you have to receive the testimony of Christ. Paul talked about it. Amen. You have to receive the testimony of Christ for the seal of Christ. Look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. Even the testimony of Christ was confirmed. Are you seeing it, my brethren? It wasn't just that it was declared to you. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you as a life. Amen. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So the testimony of Christ ought to be confirmed in us. Can you say in? Say it again, in. I'm not hearing you very well. Say it in. Confirmed where? In me. So you can't have the seal of Christ without the testimony of Christ. So he that had received his testimony, meaning he that has received this life of testimony, has set to his seal. And what is the seal here? The true God. Amen. Which is the Father. That's the Father. Has set to his seal that the Father's life is the true life. Do you believe what I just said now? That the Father's life is not just living, it's also true. You know, so you can see where the testimony is in the true God. It begins with the living God, but where you get sealed is in the true God. Am I saying something here? Yes, sir. Do you believe what I just said? So it means that Jesus, God, that was how Jesus journeyed. That was how Jesus journeyed. Now let's look at 1 John, 1 John chapter 5. Maybe that will help us understand it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Let's start from 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Amen. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. Can you see what they are doing here? The Father is testifying of his Son. The Son is testifying of the Father. What is the Father testifying of his Son? The Father is testifying of the life which the Son has, which is his life. I don't know if you're following me. They bear record of one another. When you say record, they bear record of what they have as life. So what they have in common is their life. Are we together? Yes, what do they have in common? Their life is what they have in common. You will see it. We are going there. You will see what they have in common is their life. The Father can't deny the Son. The Son can't deny the Father. Why wouldn't the Son deny the Father? Because to deny the Father is to deny himself. To deny the work that has been wrought in him. He that believeth on the Son of God. Well, if I go down a little bit, it will take me time to teach it up. I felt like going back, verse 1. But let me try. Amen. See if I can pack all of it together. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God. So one of the things about John was that John, all his conversation was love. All his conversation, all his thesis was love. But this was love. Like you were saying, at a high level. Love that is, can I say something to you? There is no level of God that is not love. Love at different strengths. As you're climbing, the love is tighter. The love commandments are tighter. Now, I don't know the kind of love commandment that the eternal God keeps. We can't even understand that love commandment until we have become everlasting. Did you get what I just said? The kind of love that the eternal God, what love do they keep? What commandment? What commandment? Because love is a commandment, sir. Love is a commandment. Can you say love? Love. Say with me, love. Love. Love is a commandment. It's purely commandment. So what kind of commandment? And commandment is, I used to say, put it this way, is commandment to us, but to them is life. It's commandment to us because we don't have it as life yet. And for us to have it as life, we have to keep it as commandment first. Do you agree with me? We have to keep it as commandment for us to get to the point where it becomes life. But for them, it's life. Now, I don't know what just understand. A conversation between a husband and wife where you are loving, not by eros, where you're loving by commandment. And you love by commandment and love by commandment and love by commandment where that commandment becomes life. You share it with somebody. He said, you don't, your own too much. This one, nobody feed duam. Why he's saying that nobody feed duam is because it's a commandment to him. But to you, it's no more a commandment. It's a life. So there is no entrance into life without commandment. You can't come into any life of God without the commandments. The commandment is actually what you call the line that will bring you into the very life. All the truth that will bring you into that life. Because what God actually wants is that we might have life. Everything that we are doing is to get us to life. Amen. It won't just be a commandment to us. It becomes a life. And when it becomes a life, no matter what happens, you live it out. When it becomes life is when it becomes a testimony. That's when it becomes a witness. So anywhere you are. Now when God is giving you commandment of love, is a commandment. Well, if you use it and use it and use it, you get to a point where it becomes life. So no matter, it becomes yours. No matter where you are, you will love. No matter what happens, it will just testify. That will be what will show. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Somebody say something beautifully. Said if they press you, what will come out? If they put pressure, exact pressure on you, what will come out? What will come out is what is inside. So if resentment, anger comes out, that is what is inside. And that's your testimony. That is why they'll keep putting pressure and keep putting pressure until those things are pressed out completely. What is the pressure that they put there? Commandments. Psalm 19, what did he talk about commandments? The commandments of the Lord are what? Give me that place in Psalm 19. Just a little bit digression so that we'll see what I'm talking about here. Psalm 19. Look at it. See testimony? Of the Lord is sure. But there's a place where it says the commandments of the Lord is pure. What does he do? Thank you. The commandments of the Lord is pure. What will he make you? Make you see well. What's your eyes been enlightened to do? To see God. So anybody who is not keeping commandment won't see God. Meaning you won't comprehend God. You won't. So when they're saying commandment, what is commandment? Love. Love. I've not God's commandment outside love. Everything he gives to us is love. All his commandment is love. Amen. 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 You know, some of us are waiting for commandments where they say, wake up and pray every 3 o'clock in the midnight. Amen. And then when you have done that for a year, and then maybe one day you have opportunity to share, and then you just enter into that testimony, you know, your own exploit, you know, that I have a commandment to pray every 3 a.m. Wake up and pray. Can I say something to you? Like you are saying, that wake up to pray, except is to pray for love. One thing I discovered, sir, to pray that kind of prayer every 3 a.m., you have to receive strength to be. I mean, you pray every 3 a.m., you pray, and what you're praying is love. Lord, teach me how to love. Lord, strengthen me to love. You know, you're doing that. Ah! But if it is about power, anointing, use me, or breakthrough, you have propensity to do that. But can I tell you something? It won't change you. Somebody who prays for, who wakes up, sorry, every 3 a.m. to pray. You can pray all manner of prayers. And somebody who they gave a commandment to love. The person who they gave commandment to love will arrive there faster. Amen. Amen. Can you say commandment? Amen. So the commandments of the Lord are pure. Why is it pure? It's love. My brother, love is pure. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Well, because when you're loving, they are purifying your heart. They are purifying your heart. Now, that love has to get to the point where it's fervent. 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 The pressure that they give to you as a person is the commandment of love. Commandment of love is a pressure. Is a pressure that will press out every self, every nature that is contrary to God, because God won't seal devil. God won't, there will not be seal of the living God. There will not be the seal of the living God if there is still anything in us that is contrary to the living God. There will not be seal of the living God in us if there is anything of his enemy in us. So those things has to go. Those things has to go. So that's why they give us commandments. I love that. The commandments of the Lord. the Lord is pure. I want to call it, the commandment of the Lord is love. And what does he do? Enlighten the eyes. Can we go further? Amen. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you seeing the reason for keeping this commandment of love? To overcome the world, you have to keep growing in love. You have to keep going in love to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This faith is not milk faith. This faith is not Christ's faith. This faith is most holy faith. This faith is the expression of commandment of the living God. That's the faith of the Father. Do you believe what I just said now? As you see faith, no, I used to put it this way. There's two things that will always appear at every level. It's faith and love. Faith and love will always appear at every level. Faith, amen, are you ready? Faith is living. Love is true. Or abiding. Faith is living. Because we live by faith. But when you love, you abide. Are you understanding me? You see it in milk. You see it in milk. Even in milk, those who were able to do milk well and acquire the seal in milk, they got to the love. They got to love. Am I saying something here? They got to love. They don't seal you in faith. They seal you in love. It's in love they seal you. Don't. In season of Christ, the same thing. When you come to Christ, they don't seal you in faith. They don't seal you in hope. They seal you in charity. The end of the commandment is charity. So that's where the end is, when they seal you. So it means you have to come to the end. The end is always love. The seal is in love. Amen. Amen. Love is life. There is living, there is life. Faith is living, love is life. Faith is living, love is abiding. Or true. Meaning that you've been made true. Amen. Amen. So let's go further as I read. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you seeing what we are talking about here? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Just ride with me. We'll get there. I don't want to get ahead, say some things ahead of myself. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the one who inherited the Father. The Son of God is the heir of God, is the heir of all things. So what did the Son inherit? Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's look at it. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So what did he inherit? Brightness of his glory, express image of his person. These things are wonderful, aren't they? And upholds all things by the word of his power. So what did he inherit in essence? Image. And what? Glory. Image and glory. Amen. Image. Can you say it with me? Image. And what? And glory. So when you're talking about the Son of God, you're talking about the heir of all things. Verse 2. Had in him, in this last day spoken to us by his son, whom he had appointed. Now, he didn't say spoken to us by Christ. He said spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things that are of the Father. All things are of the Father. All things are of the Father. Amen.
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 Okay, we read further. He said, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this believing that Jesus is the Son of God is not without unveiling. It's not what they ask you when they want to do water baptism. Now, when we want to baptize you in water, we ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He said, I believe. You don't know what you're saying. Because this believing is not without, I'll call it, it's not without unveiling, or you call it appearing. How will it appear? Let's ask the question, how will it appear? Commandments need. See, sir, I've come to understand that every level of God, when we say appear, is actually commandment. It's to show you the law that weaved that level, or the law that governs that realm. That is what they call appearance. It's not vision. They will show you what holds that realm. Now, when they show you what holds that realm, and you believe it. To believe it is to migrate from where you are to that next one, to agree that where I am is not good enough, that I need to come into the one that is being shown to me now. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Now, I can see that every level, as we journey in these things, until we come to where it is totally God and nothing else, every level can still accommodate an iota of darkness. And God is patient with us. He knows. Now, when you are saying that commandment, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, we don't know it. So we are here to preach it. You know what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart? You know, all your heart? All your heart? You know the things that are in your heart? Do you know what is in your heart? Seasons will unveil what is in your heart and will shock you rudely. Rude shock you will have. There are, you know, there's a sin. Loving your God is not zeal. Now, death is a commandment. It's a commandment there. Because they asked Jesus, what did he call it? Look at it. Give me the previous verse. And Jesus answered and said, the first commandment. So the first, in the sense, is the greatest. The first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Then, this is a whole teaching of another day. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all that is in your heart. All that is in your heart. All that is in your heart. To love the Lord your God with all that is in your heart is to that there's nothing in your heart that is contrary to him. I woke up this morning and I knew that was the line of the message this morning. I don't know why that song came. Sometimes the Lord communicates things like that. As I was getting up, I was just hearing, who will not be offended in you, who will not be offended when you choose to show up in our midst, Lamb of God. Who will not be offended in you. You know, one will listen to that song and say, what kind of song are you singing? You don't know how much contrary you are to him. Until, and sometimes he doesn't unveil himself because he knows you will fight him. How many of us have not fought God before? Then you must be holy. Even up to now, I'm still fighting God. To fight God is not feast. It's not, you know, holding your feast. It's when he reveals a commandment to you. When you don't keep it, what is making you that moment you're not keeping is a fight. Why is it a fight? It's contrary to your frame. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. It's contrary to your frame. So you are, when you say, somebody will say, I'm struggling with it. It's fight, actually, you're fighting. You're wrestling with him. So do you know all that is in your heart? So it will take seasons to unveil what is in our heart for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart. And I like that, with all our soul. I don't know why Mark divided it heart, soul, mind, strength. These are divisions. So this is the first commandment. How can you do it with everything that is in you? When I can tell you, if we're able to keep this commandment, we will have his life. We will have his life. Because this is the great. And you can't keep this commandment and you not keep the second one. Sir, anybody who will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, you are dead. You are dead. They will erase you. You see, these things that are here will erase you completely. They will not see you again. What they will see is love. You are saying something, sir, that our Lord Jesus agreed to go to the cross because of love. The demands of the Father, sir, they are high. I somehow, sir, even in you know, communion and prayer, I just talked to the Lord Jesus. I don't know why. I still believe I don't have what it takes to face the Father. I don't know if it's like that with you. It's just Jesus. I'm just behind him. Lord, help me. Just be helping me. Let me be hiding behind you. Because the Father, his demands are high. His demands are high. His demands, the demand of the Father is lose your life completely. Because that your life is your darkness. Lose your life. Now, the Father is love. The Father is love. You see all those chastening, all of that, the demands of the Father is high. Don't be discouraged. It's for your good. So that you will partake of his holiness. He is holy. You know that his holiness is his seal now. That he wants to give you himself. And the Father won't give you him. When they say seal, he's to give you himself. He can't give you himself. How can he give devil himself? I'm not calling you devil. But we all got this. And one thing I've discovered with the devil is that If the seed still remain, no matter how small it is, just give it time. Just give it time. It will, some of the land you think you have conquered, it will collect it back. So God wants to make sure that there is no iota. Like he said, no shadow of turning. The way he is, no shadow of turning. No variableness. That's the realm of the Father. You shouldn't vary. You shouldn't have propensity to turn back. That's why I said, don't give costly things to, costly pearls to swine. Now, these swines are not, please understand me, it's a nature. It's not primarily talking about unbeliever. A believer can be a swine inside. It's a nature that a soul can take. A believer can be, he's regenerated in his spirit, but his soul still has the nature of a dog. And there are many natures. When you see animals, you're seeing souls have captured those natures by reason of disobedience. There's a level of disobedience you will get to. It won't just be dog. It's dog that graduates to be wolf. Amen. So those natures, God does not want it at all. Amen. So to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God is when they show you the commandment that makes up that realm, you agree with it. So I have come to see, sir, that what we call repentance is actually agreeing with God. Just agree with his standard. If you know, repentance for someone who is, you know, when maybe you're teaching repentance to, or maybe somebody who is newly born again, you're talking about repentance, is repenting of your sin. What is your sin? What is your sin? Your life. Your life. Your life. Sin is life. But sin for that person is actions, deeds, words, and deeds. But by the time you begin to come closer, you now discover that sin is actually life. Kai, I don't know how to say these things. When you hear about our Lord Jesus, that he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He didn't have iniquity. Oh. He didn't have iniquity. But you know what they call iniquity there? If he held anything, any privilege he came into in God, if he holds it against what the man, the Father, is making at any time, that thing becomes iniquity. You didn't get me. Can I say it again? What was wrong with Lucifer? Wasn't it God that created him? When God created him, he was beautiful. He was perfect. Now, he was not created for himself. He was created to serve God. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. He was meant for God. Because God must be all in all. And when we say God is all in all, you know, somebody said, is it only God? Is it only God? You don't know God. It's not about only God. You are actually in God. The true you is in God. Your true essence is in God. So when you say only God, only God, it's for you to arrive at your true essence. God does not, outside God, you're not okay. That's why you see the son saying, I go to the Father. I go to outside God. You're not okay. You won't realize the reason why you were created. Where we are right now, please understand me, as men, where we are in our journey towards God, we are not okay. You might eat and drink and wear clothes and sleep and wake up, marry, have children. You're not okay. You think you're okay. When you realize you're not okay, is when they really show you how you are known. When you get a glimpse of how you are known, then you realize that I'm not okay. So, what I'm saying there is not about God. Must God be, Satan is bad. He will use some warped up mind to argue with things that are holy. Must God be the only one that should be worshipped? What if I decide not to worship him? You're not okay. You don't understand what you're saying? God is never for himself. He doesn't think about himself. God is, when you see that God, you know, Satan was thinking about himself. This was his sin. God has made him perfect the way he is. He wants to use that to get something else. No, that was not the order. That was not the plan of God. Besides that, that which he had was meant to serve God's purpose. I believe, sir, that if he had given himself to serve God's purpose, like Michael is doing, do you know that there are things that these angels will enter into? Do you think it's just ordinary that they desire to look into the things that they are giving to you? God permitted them to look into it. God permitted them to minister it to you. They also have something, they will partake of it. Have you ever asked yourself, where will they be in the world to come? It's not where they are now. It's not where they are. Because the whole creation, they are also creation. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The first time they saw the Son of God, and they said, let all the angels worship him. They worshiped him because that day they realized that something was lacking in them. That we need this man to come into an estate. Not like man, but there's something, because they are creation. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In the world to come, the way they are is not the way they will be. I don't know. I don't know how they will be. But I know. Somebody who has been ministering. I'm ministering. You know the things they've been doing for us. You know what angels, our Father is not unjust, though. To neglect their labor of love. It's not unjust. They've been ministering to us. So there is also something there for them. That's, God has plans for them. And that's what Lucifer would have just waited for. Amen. Who has interpretation? Amen. God will anoint you people more for interpretation. Amen. Let me make you laugh. Those days when I was the only one interpreting tongue for a long time. Oh my God. I faced all manner of devils. You just finish interpreting and drop the mic, he will start speaking to you. You just interpreted nonsense. I used to tell them that, I said, and then maybe the preacher did not now mention anything about your interpretation. He said, you see, he didn't even mention it at all. So all the time, I said, Satan fought me seriously there. He fought me to the point where if tongue is coming, I will quote that scripture. He that speaketh in tongue, let him pray that he should interpret. You should interpret your tongue. Because when you hear this kind of tongue, K. But what are you saying? Interpret it. Amen. But God is the same spirit. The same spirit that gave the tongue will also give the inspiration for interpretation. We just step into it by faith. Amen. Just go on, my pastor.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. O anamande shifele kalada badu veranine mahashte laba. Entu sebaranamonde veklanishte palayanamo. I show you an order. I show you an ordinances. I show you an order. I show you an order. I show you an order. Oh, I show you an order. I am faithful and I will reward labor of love. I will reward your labor of love. I will reward service. I'm a faithful God that rewards service. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. Oh, when you serve and lay down your life, I have a plan for you. When you serve and wait, I have a plan for you. Oh, wait for my plan, said the Lord. Wait for the season that I've designed for you. Wait for that season. Don't run out of the time. Don't be too hasty and run into darkness like Lucifer did. I have a plan even for him. I have a plan even for him. Oh, but he was hasty. He was hasty. He was hasty. He was the one that became wicked that run it when no one pursued it. He was hasty. I do not want you to be hasty. I do not want you to be hasty like him. Oh, as you are coming into sonship, I will make you see him. Do not go that route.
Yeah.
Do not be like him who cannot wait, who cannot trust, who cannot wait on me, who cannot trust on me, who cannot trust in me, who cannot trust in my order, who cannot trust in my ordinance, who cannot follow me, who cannot love. He couldn't love till the end. He couldn't love till the end. Watch your father even care.
Yeah.
Watch your father even care. Watch how he waited on me. Watch how he followed me. Watch how he was not hasty. Oh, watch him. Watch him. Watch him. I'm making him a pattern for you.
Yeah.
Watch him. Watch him as you are coming to me. Follow care. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. I'm making him a pattern for you as a generation. Follow him. I've taught him my ways. I've taught him my ways. I've taught him patience. I've taught him patience. I've taught him waiting. I've taught him service. I've taught him sacrifice. I've taught him a lot. Just follow him and you will be safe. See you at the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Can we go further? So I was saying concerning our Lord Jesus. Amen. Can you say, I love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
Say with me again, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Amen. He has done a lot for us. In fact, he did everything for us. Everything for us. Everything for us. I was saying that if he held what he had in the face of what God had revealed, or what God is revealing at the next stage, what will it become? Iniquity. That's what it means that he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. What was the righteousness? He always loved the stand that God declares, the standard that God declares above what he has. Willing enough to relinquish what he has to go for what God is showing. That is how to be saved. That's what that tongue was saying. That's how to be saved. always to keep journeying and keep journeying. Keep journeying. You know, part of, you are talking about some of the people that left the company. But one of the reasons why they left was they held onto something. I remember one dear brother, lovely brother. I love him so much. I'm still praying for him that God will bring him back. What was the problem? It was the issue of Christ. The division of Christ and the Son of God. That was where he lost it. God was showing another standard. But he has been a minister, was a minister in a church that he attended, or he was still even attending, because he wasn't worshiping in NLWC. He had a church where he was attending, and before he got to, you know, Word of Righteousness. And, you know, he held, you know, there's a way you would have preached Christ, and preached Christ, and preached Christ, and then God begins to, because each unveiling, like I said, is the bringing in of commandments. There's no revelation without commandment. You see, when you're hearing revelation and you're shouting, it's just precepts you're dealing with. Precepts will excite you. But by the time they measure out the line, is when they measure out the commandments. Now, when you are getting excited, it's good to get excited with precepts, right? It's good to get excited with revelation when it's coming. But I want you to have this old man sense. When it's coming, also be waiting for the commandment, because surely the commandment will come. The commandment will be a commandment for to really inherit the life that the precept was teaching, because they are not just there to excite you, they want you to inherit life. So precepts, when precept is teaching, you're getting excited, you know, you're getting, oh wow, you know, this is enlightening. Yes, they're going to show you line. When the line comes, that's actually where people stumble. When the lines come, because once lines begin to come, commandments begin to come. You can finish a meeting, and maybe the meeting was line, 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 line. And as you're going back, as you're just entering your car to drive, commandment drops. This is what you should do concerning this particular issue. This is how I want you to now begin to approach spiritual authority. Or this is how I want you to now begin to approach your spouse. I was teaching in London. I told them, I said, one of the things I discovered in this thing is that all the commandments, three. First, spiritual authority. Second, your spouse. Third, one another. Brethren. It will not pass these three. It will not. So when they heave it up, it's still in these three. You submit more. You love your wife more. I don't know why that wife thinks, huh? Because you feel you love her. You've loved all your love. And all the love you love, they will say, no, we will teach you how to love. No, you've loved her to the point where she, if she stands to testify, she will say, you love her. But she's not the one that will declare the record. The report card will be sent from heaven. So they'll tell you, we are not satisfied with this love. I've not found you perfect in loving your wife. But my wife is not complaining. No, we are not talking about whether she complains or she does not complain. It's as we are seeing it. So it's not about her record. It's about the life of God. It's about what they want you to inherit. So when they are heaving it up, even when the person is not, maybe you have loved your brother and loved your brother to you, you have given everything, laid down your life, and they will tell you that the way we are seeing it now, your work is not yet perfect. They are taking the work inside of you. This is what you are doing. Did you understand me? Because what you're doing
should improve your person. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Where they are getting to is that you will acquire life. I don't know if you're following me. You should. So by the time they are declaring, okay, you're not submitting enough. Hey. Amen. You need to submit more. You know, there's a submission that can be out of. I'll share this with you. I don't normally share it. I remember those days, you know, working with our daddy reverend, you know, and mommy. That was even before NLWC started, you know. And the Lord had taught me submission, helped me to submit to a measure. And I know there's, and everybody was, almost everybody around was singing, oh, the way you submit, the way you submit. So now I said we are the ones that put some people into trouble. The way you submit, the way you submit, and Satan will now come after you. Amen. Amen. You know, like we are singing the song for David. And so, the way you submit, the way you submit, the way you submit, the way you submit. So eventually, I think some years later, NWC started. And now, before then, because I was in full time, so in HFM, Daddy used to give me some, you know, money, you know, like salary, as it were, or allowance, you know, allowance. And because of that, you know, that allowance was, and it was a lifesaver in that season. I won't tell you how much it was, but it was a lifesaver. Amen. And by the time NLWC started, NLWC just started. Of course, we really didn't have anything. I preached for 9 months without microphone. I preached and taught for 9 months, preaching, teaching Sunday school, and preaching in service, sweating in a classroom that didn't have fan. For 9 months without microphone. We didn't have enough money to buy microphone. That's how we started. We started from the scratch. So I just want you to show you how our finance was. And so that is still kept giving me even when the NWC has started. And, you know, he didn't know how much it was a help to me. With that, I could fuel the car that Daddy Lamikora gave me, because I was using Daddy Lamikora's car, Peugeot, you know, station wagon. That's what we used to go to church and, you know, carry everybody, just load everybody inside and to church and come back, you know. And he would still give me. And so, one day, Satan just accused me. You know, your commitment, your submission, you know. So when the Satan just accused me, he said, the only reason you're submitting is because they are giving you allowance. Stop the allowance. Let's see. So I took it upon myself. I had to do that because I knew I needed to do that. It wasn't to prove anything. So I went to Daddy. I told him, I said, sir, well, I appreciate the love. I appreciate the fact that you still want to keep doing this. But I feel I've come of age. I think I should let this, because you also have other people who are also coming up, who are in the ministry, who are not receiving anything. I said, can this be given to them? I wanted to go against that thing. Because you see, let me tell you something. Satan does not lay any accusation if he's not seeing anything. Yeah, he sees, he sees. He must have seen some tendencies and said, so when I recognize those, say, okay, let's deal with this thing. Maybe there's one iota of covetousness there. Let's deal with it. How will I deal with it? Let me go against what I would have loved to have. I went to him, I said, I wanted to test my heart of submission. I just pleaded with him. I said, please, we can give it to others, that right now I feel I've come of age a little bit to be able to, you know, manage. To be candid, it was not easy. Ah, boy. When I did that and I walked out, it was tough. For the next few months, it was tough. When I mean tough, financially, it was tough. But I know I needed to walk this walk against the suggestions of Satan. And I still submitted. And I submitted more. I think after what the Lord just did, the Lord just touched my finance. I wasn't taking salary from allowance from church for a long time. But I'll just see God will just move some brethren. They will sow into my life, minister to me. One of them was Pastor Tayo. He didn't know. The Lord will just move him. Because then he was working. He will minister to me. He didn't know what that meant in that season. But I needed to war with Satan in that season. What were they demanding? I wanted to train myself to submit with no sense of entitlement. You know, sometimes when we are submitting with some kind of sense. Okay, I'm seeing how things have turned out for this guy, because the way he has submitted, you know, he's now, you know, so let's do this submission. No, they will teach you. Amen. And I still don't feel I've submitted enough, sir. Because they will keep raising the bar and keep raising the standard, and they keep raising the standard. But I want to ask you something. Where are they going to? There's a life you have to inherit. There's a life you have to inherit. There is our Lord Jesus. Is he submitting to the Father because of anything? Because of anything. He is God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. That's how they are. You know, we talk about submission. Do you know that the Father submits to the Son and the Holy Ghost? It's a life of submission all throughout. It's their life. That's how they are. That's how they are weaved. And that is why there is no darkness in them. There is no variableness in them. It's their life. So what they've called us to come and learn, amen. Can you say amen? What they've called us to come and learn is to learn the life of God is totally alien to creation. Understand it. That's where you need to get it. The life of God, the conversation of God. You know, I told you, for us is commandment, for them is life. Their life, which they are teaching us, is totally alien to creation. Can I now tell you, shock you more? What we understand as life right now is lower than what Adam understood as life before the fall. What we understand as life is the life of fallen angels. Fallen spirits have taught us, given us an idea of life. And the idea of life is selfishness. Hold it to yourself. Grab it. Steal it. Snatch it. Take charge. It will not come in a golden plate. I don't want to call it what they called it. Amen. You have to fight for it. Part of the commandments that they give me sometimes, they say, when they recognize your brother, when your brother is recognized, when they talk about your brother and talk about how, you know, recognize him. He said, rejoice. Yes, don't do anything, yes, to come close to that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let him enjoy that when it's being done. You know, there's a way they can recognize your brother. And then, okay, what is it that he did that I cannot do? Let me do. That was a nice Sapphira. When they called Barnabas son of consolation, instead of him to rejoice with the fact that my brother has been given a name, son of consolation, he's like, what is it that he has that I don't have? Me, I also get name. So let's do something here. So all of us will be recognized. The way I see the Godhead, the Father is comfortable to leave the scene for the Son. When he said, what do you think when he said, sit down at my right hand? No, he just said, sit. I retire. Take over. Let the throne make your enemies your footstool. I've been operating the throne now. Sit and operate it. They are comfortable too. When the Holy Ghost is working, they give room. There is no competition in them. They don't compete. You know, we are raised from childhood to compete. Even in school, part of what they taught us is the way our school system is arranged is competition. In fact, they now baptize it healthy competition. There is no healthy competition. Commandments, they will. I've talked about the with leadership. I've talked about your spouse. You're with your brother. Your brother, maybe something that you want and your brother wants it. That's it. Let him have it. Let him have it. If he has it, you know what that thing will do? That thing, no, wait now. This is our heart. Satan will tell him. If he has it, he will, you're gone. He will be far ahead of you. Let him be far ahead of me. But let me have life. You know, Satan has tricked us. That thing inside that wants preeminence is satanic. If he has it now, if I allow him to have his way now, you know, he will go far and I'll still be where I am. But you know, I can be where I am and I'll have life. I'll have life. It's not, you know, when they tell you the race is not for the swift, they are showing you judgment, how they judge in that realm. The race is not for the swift. The battle is not for the strong. Bread is not for the wise. I was going to testimony, right? So let's read verse. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. So this, what they call witness here is actually another way that it can be put is because a seal is for witness. That's another thing about seal. Is a witness. When they seal you, you become a witness. Yes. So when they told Paul, I've called you to be both a minister and a witness. So he became a minister first. A minister first. That's, he has to leave to the point where he also becomes a witness. It's at the point where they seal you that you are called witness. Are you following me? So he that, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God had this witness. Where does he have the witness? In himself. Are you now seeing that the seal is an inside work? An inside work. The inside work is the work of the Father. John chapter 14, they began to explain it. He that had my commandment and keepeth them is he that loved me. If you have my commandment and keep it, I'll give you another comfort. Initially, I used to think, sir, that there it was a progression of, you know, milk. Then, no, but I just got to see that everything that was being talked about here, we are, that's the spirit there is called the spirit of truth. So it wasn't, it's not milk that it was. Everything here was the season of the Father. Everything was declaring was the Father. So even in coming to the Father, there are commandments that you will keep. I will send you another comforter. Even the spirit of truth. So the Holy Ghost can come to you not as the spirit of truth. Do you believe what I just said now? He can come to you, but he may not come to you as the spirit of truth. Meaning, he is not coming to you in the capacity of the spirit of truth. Now, what I'm seeing here are stages that the Father will have to take you. The Kai, is serious, sir. I just discovered that three of them have role to play. In Christ, three of them has role to play. In the Father, three of them have role to play. Even in milk, three of them also had role to play. It's just that one will be prominent. One will be more prominent, but you will see, if you look deeply, you will still see they don't work haphazardly. They don't walk alone. They walk together. So here the Holy Ghost now assumes the office of spirit of truth. That season of the Father. Where are they going to? They want you to have this witness in yourself. Let's read it finally. 1 John chapter 5. Reading verse 10. Amen. He that believeth on the Son of God had this witness. We need to get to the point where we have this witness. That's what they are. That's the seal. We need to have this witness in ourselves. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record. It's called record that God gave of his Son. So I told us, starting, that the essence of the Son is to reveal the Father. That's the essence of the Son. When you don't believe the record that the Son is giving, you are not believing God. Listen to me. He said, he that believe not the record that God gave. First of all, he that believe not has made him a liar, and he's not a liar. He's not a liar. He has given everything to the Son. He's not a lie. If you go to the Father now and say, I come to you. You are the Father of all. Thank you for Jesus, but it's you I want to deal with. He will send you back to the Son. But is you I want. See, as I am now, I'm empty. That's what the Father will tell you. In fact, I don't own myself. I don't own myself anymore. I've given myself to him. That's what it means that the Father has given all things to the Son. The Father loved the Son and given all things to the Son. So you want the Father, he will tell you, I'm not myself to give. It's the Son that will give me to you. The Son owns me. If you want me, go to him. Amen. Amen. Now, when you now go to the Son will say, okay, you want the Father. I will teach you the Father. Amen. Because it's my teaching. It's the things which he has seen and the things which he has heard. And those are the things he will testify. So the Son is the one who has ability to show us the Father. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom, he had declared him because he had inherited all things. I checked it consistently in the scriptures, sir. Everything has to be through the Son, in the Son, by the Son, through the Son, in the Son, by the Son. Without the Son, you get nothing. That is why he is the firstborn among many brethren. Are you blessed this afternoon? Let's look up to the Son. Can we look up to the Son? Can we look up to the Son? Can I say something more, sir? Just one more thing. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
The Son is a father. Yes. The Son is a father. This is what I'm seeing. The Father can't give you himself. What they gave you actually is the Father. So when Philip was saying, show us the Father and it will suffice us, Jesus said, you don't understand that he that has seen me has seen the Father. What is he talking about? He's saying that what the Father gave me is Father. So they want to give you Father. If they give you Father, you too will become Father. Kai. It's a great blessing to be Father. You know, when we say Father, it's not just the way we see natural Father. Father is something, you know. Father is a serious inheritance. If we begin to talk about Father, Father, Father. In fact, they talked about Jesus Christ, everlasting Father. So when you come to everlasting life, there is the Father of everlasting life, everlasting Father. That's what it should be called, everlasting Father. Father covers. Father raises. Nurtures. Father blesses. Father. Can you say Father?
Father.
He's the high priest.
Yes, sir.
He's the high priest. You know, when you talk about Father, you're talking about somebody who will, you know, the way we see Father in the natural, is simply high priest of good things to come. Are you blessed today? I'm sure Pastor has. Everything I'm saying is not strange to you because I know Pastor have taught you very well. And then more is still going to come. But I want you to understand something, that we are in the season of sealing. And the seal is the seal of the Father. I'm praying for us that this season will be accomplished in every one of us. Yeah. That which God wants to do, he will do. In the name of Jesus. That nothing will stop us. You know, I'm looking forward to a church in Ibadan that has the seal of the Father. As a local assembly, you have the seal of the Father. Do you know what it will be like in the heavens over Ibadan? You have the seal of the Father. Wow! That's a great declaration. Finally, sir, when that happens, your preaching in Ibadan will not be just preaching. It will be sealing. It should be sealing. So every meeting, walking of sealing people, every meeting, every preaching, every teaching, activities of sealing, meaning the activities of the Father will be so, the Spirit of the Father will be so intense in your midst. That's God's desire for Ibadan. And that will come to pass in Jesus' name. The heaven has great hope. Heaven has great expectation and hope in what is going on here. Amen. And it will come to full manifestation. Even this, it is a witness. It's a witness to spirits. When fathers arises, spirits will know that they've lost it. I'm talking about fallen spirits. They know they've lost it. Because their intention is that fathers should not arise. Once fathers rise up, they've lost it. You know, fathers stand at the gate. You're called city gate. Fathers stand at the gate. When fathers are standing at the gate, no spirit. Spirits will not be manifesting anyhow, you know, doing all kinds of nonsense they are doing around, because fathers are at the gate. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Can we give thanks to the Lord this afternoon? Just bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul.
And worship His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship His
holy name. Seems like never before.
Sing like never before.
Oh my soul. And
worship his holy name.
Come on, lift up your hands and begin to thank the Lord for this downpour. Father, we are grateful for your blessings. Thank you for the grace that you have shown us tonight. We are grateful and appreciative of the light that you have brought, accuracy, the door that you have brought to be made open before us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for using your servant greatly. We are grateful, we are blessed, we have been helped, we have been healed, we have been washed. Lord, we will not remain the same again. In Jesus' name. Can we appreciate God's servant, Pastor Emeka? We can have our seats. Pastor, sir, thank you so much. You blessed us. That was a very, I don't know how I can describe it, but it was a ministration of lines. And it's also a measure of the work that God has done inside him. The Lord is going to help us. I just want us to be open to God, because the teachings that are going to come in will be very corrective. By corrective, I'm not talking about corrective in knowledge. It's more of corrective in attitude. Many of the attitudes we have, the attitudes of rebellion or selflessness or self. You know, it's easy at times you are here and then you are not seeing those things applied to you. You are just mirroring it to someone. You are not wise. There is something rebellious in all of us. Something that does not want to follow the way of the Lord to the end. So I think that this Father's meeting is to heal all of us. Can we all say amen? It's to heal us of darkness. When Pastor was talking about those three things, I understood I could relate to that. Submission to authority. If you hate submission to authority, you can't know God. It's not possible. So I understand what you are saying, so I can relate with it. then loving your wife. That wife thing is a cross till you enter into seal. Believe me. I remember one time, I think our marriage is 16 years. When we were about 12 years, my wife actually complains about me. She's a wonderful person. But the Lord told me that you have not loved my daughter. That was the first time the Lord told me. I was shocked. You know, I didn't mark myself, but I never saw it that way. It says, you have not loved her. Now I want to begin to teach you to love her. So I think we are still in that school. I'm telling you, I'm still in that school. I've not even, it's a whole new course entirely. So those three things the pastor said, authority, spouse, brethren. So you can't escape it. And so I don't want you to see somebody say, as pastor said, this person is not submitting well. It's for Brother John. Brother John is not submitting well. Brother John is not submitting under daddy very well. What about you, sir? What makes you confident that you are so? You know, I'm just showing you. You know, the way we are, we quickly escape some of those things. So don't escape. None of us qualify when it comes to the standard of being sealed. So all of us have to run for help. Can we all say amen? But this meeting is a meeting of help. Can we all say amen? I'm not hearing your amen. God has brought help. Another thing I want to say is that, please, I beg you, don't be too rank conscious, even though we have ranks. The reason is because that's what the Lord told me. I said I wanted to even teach my associate pastors that, Lord, just love each other as brothers. I said, because the reason why it's not good to be rank conscious is that God can raise anybody at any time. And that will just reveal the evil of your heart. Now, imagine when you think that, you know, I am the one that is this. Once you set yourself like that, the day God chooses to bless your brother, and put him ahead of you, you start having problem. It means that, because that problem shows that you didn't really love him. You know, God reveals the evil of your heart by just putting hand on your brother. Then you now begin to have issues. So, even though, you know, I just want to show you some of the things I say. I'm telling you the spirit behind what I'm saying. I know I'm a father, but I'm more conscious of my walk with God. Okay? Pastor Tayo can call me his Egbon, but I don't see myself that way. I can come under him. That is safe for me. Why is it God at any time can put hand on anybody? God can choose to raise anybody at any time. You know? So we have Ranko in the spirit. But when we love, it will not be even evident that God, the consciousness that love your brother so much that even when God raises him, it's easy for you to submit under him. You will not even feel like you are doing anything. I noticed that when you love someone, to submit to that person is not hard. It's very easy. Very, very easy. You know, when they are praising someone, you are so excited. When you love someone, for instance, I'm not lying to you. I can hand over this church to my wife. Just keep passing. I will sit down. I like her teaching. She used to bless me more than I bless myself. You know what I'm talking about? You see, that's how you test love. You are comfortable to vacate and allow another to lead. And you are comfortable to follow. So I'd always said that and I didn't know because I didn't have reference to scripture until Pastor Maker taught it. You know, he said that the father submits to the son. So it means that the father can follow the son. So the father can follow the son without any issue. So you now see the way they operate in the Godhead. I want us to be a church of lovers. That's what I want us to be a church of children. We are children. So even though we have those that carry authority amidst us. Even those that carry authority will be children. I saw, Joyner showed us that vision. Maybe next year, I can look around that, about the army of God in the core. He was talking about the fact that they were generals and all that, there was ranking. He said, but when he saw them closely, he said they were a family. and they loved each other. So Satan could not enter their midst because of love. So this thing is a love journey. We should be children. It's good to be children. So God is going to heal us because these are things that we have. Right from when you are growing up, they have taught you to be competitive. If you were 17th in class and it's a girl that became first, they will insult you. So talo be first. They say it's a girl. Again. So that's why some of us cannot even do well under female leadership. Do you know how you know that you can submit well? If you can submit under a woman, most men have ego problem. And I know that God always used that as a litmus test of also judging. Some men always feel that in every area, a man should be ahead. So when they come to church and a lady is head of a unit, they will struggle to come under. Maybe a lady is a pastor or head of the unit. They'll rather go and submit to the male pastor. In their mind, she's a woman. You see, all of those things, you have to, in a season, I understand that, you know, I've told you about ranking in the family. In a season, God may use your wife to help you. If you are not submissive, you will not learn from her. There are many things I've learned from my wife. I used to feel that she's even more hungry. You know, we preach more. But they listen more. So they wait more. The way my wife took this meeting, even me, I was condemning myself that I'm not taking this meeting as serious as her. She was praying every day. She wake up early in the morning, like 3:30. It's her prayer that wake me up. I said, even myself, that I conveyed the meeting. I don't think I'm this serious. And those things are good. And so I was learning from her. I would just say, Auntie, let me also follow her. So I follow my wife. I learn from her. I'm not saying I don't see myself as the head in that area. So I don't need headship in that area, sir. All of us are looking for God. So that is a way I can also learn from my pastors. I can learn from anybody. Let us all be children. That's the point of it. And it's love that makes us like that. Let's not be conscious of, don't be conscious of anything at the stage you are. We are nothing. You know, if we ever be something, it is where we have this seal on our forehead. Let it be that the Father is the one that says that you are something. You are nothing until you eventually arrive and have the seal, where you are witnessing nothing but the Father. The kingdom of God is a business between Father and sons. I've noticed. Father sonship, that's kingdom. And so who are sons, really? Sons are fathers. So when you say you're a son of a father, it means that you are bearing witness to everything that the Father is. Have we been blessed today? Yes, thank you so much, sir. It was a worthwhile labor to wait and receive this. This is a major installation to what God has begun to do in our midst.
We believe you have been visited by the Lord through the administration of the Spirit.
You can access other edifying resources via our website.
www.thecitygatechurch.org.
God to bless you.